Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey now, two in the books, one to go on a very fast-moving show. We've covered politics, we're covering basketball, we've run the gamut, we covered deal breakers, we're still covering those. By the way, a special shout-out down in Galveston to my man Dan Thielen, who is listening down at Galveston Country Club, which we love, and he is a friend of the show. So we appreciate you keeping us on in G-Town, Daniel. Thank you very much. And you, Barry, have been monitoring during the break our text messages.
Yeah, we got some more deal breakers. Inverted nips is a deal breaker.
What?
That's a weird one.
Isn't that just a funnel?
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either.
Is that a thing?
Is that a funnel?
I don't
know.
News
to me.
It's like a pothole.
Yeah, something.
I don't know what that is.
A pothole for your tongue?
Yeah. Hey, Barry, deal breaker if she curses better than me. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, yeah.
That's not
bad. That's scary. My wife likes that I'm hairy. That was intern Keith. I guess he's out there. Is that Keith out there?
I think it is Keith.
Yeah, okay. Keith's out there. But by the way, when I went to the restroom during the break, Keith said to me, I guess I got to misspell names to get on the show.
Yeah, he said the same thing to me.
Yeah, I said, no, what you got to do is basically when someone's name on the board, also give us a subject matter. So now we're playing guessing games when we bring people onto the show. Because like three of the last four calls didn't even have a subject matter. We couldn't tell if it was on the topic we were talking about or we were starting a new topic.
Yeah, that's Keith because he came up to me about it as well.
Such a diva.
Keith looks like a young Bob Newhart, and that's not a good thing. Keith's got to up his game a little bit.
Somebody says cigars are a briar piper, not nearly the deal breaker that cigarettes are.
I disagree.
I don't know. If a chick smokes a pipe.
That is kind of, that's different.
That might be a deal breaker for me. Be like, hey, pass me my pipe. It's like, no, no thanks, Tugboat Slim. I'm out. No, thank you. And Trey tweeted in, Trey of terrible spelling intern fame.
Okay.
Tweeted in that
what we call it the illegitimate child of Carrot Top and
I don't know.
Who was the other one?
I don't know. You had some dude that you were
Robert Swift in the Sonics, yeah.
He said that dipping was a deal breaker.
I've never That's seen a girl dip.
But the question is what if she dips like Skull Bandits? That's not as bad.
Can then I chime in on that one?
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, I went to college in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And it is the most disturbing thing that you find out when you go to college in the Midwest and you go to the bars for the first time, when you see how many chicks and how many hot chicks literally have the spit cup with the napkin in it and they got a little dip in. And you're it's just, God, that is a deal breaker. That's just, I mean, oh,
I've
man. First time
ever.
I saw that,
chicks
I was like,
dip?
You know, because I'm on the baseball team and I know how many guys dip, but I'm looking at this going, chicks are actually dipping like my teammates? That's just scary.
Nasty.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we used to go to the bars on Friday, Saturday night, and literally there'd be some chick, inevitably, that you look and go, wow, man, look at, she's hot. And all of a sudden, she'd go, and she's just spitting, and you're like, no, come on, man.
So what's she like? Did you ever kiss a girl and she move her dip into your mouth, put it in your
basically,
cheek?
Basically, you did a lot, enough like, recon to know like, before you got that close, that if she's a dipper,
El Jefe has a good one. If she doesn't like my girl jams.
I just retweeted that one.
You're damn
I'm sure
right.
You both love
if
that.
If she's not down with the girl with the chick songs, she's got to
Bye
go.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Dude.
All right, I'm caught up now. This is good.
Hey, Maya, you want to get in? Your boy Kurt Lowe was in already. Plus, you're getting. I mean, I include you on things because we're like family sometimes, and then you get all sensitive on me and you want out. I can't take that. I mean, you're either one way or the other. We can't have you doing both.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Because I included you on my army, my brigade of people that have my back, and you were like, remove me from these future tweets. I'm like, come
on. No, I was telling that guy to get a life.
I saw that too. By the way, are you in the Batcave, Maya?
Am I where?
In the Batcave. It sounds, we've had several calls today that sound like they're in a Batcave.
I'm on my Bluetooth.
Oh.
That might
she's got a better connection.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Well, who was it, Mark?
Hey, Maya, before we get to your Rockets, I got to know, what is your deal breaker when it comes to dating? Like, is there something where you're
like
just
smokers.
Like, no. Smokers?
There you go.
I don't like smokers.
Okay.
I don't like smokers at all.
Anything else? Any physical things that is a deal breaker? Like if they got, like, crusty feet?
Under
5'7". Joel's out.
Yeah.
Wow, so Nick, it's the opposite. So she doesn't want...
So height can be
a factor.
Well,
it's actually the same thing. So height is a factor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're under 5'7", yeah, my Bluetooth was dying. That's probably why you had a bad call.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, can you give it some CPR just for about 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Give it CPR for about 5 minutes and don't let it die so we can keep this conversation going.
Well, I'm talking to you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Go ahead.
What's your Rockets thing?
I agree with Carlo. We're going to get blown out against the Spurs. I would have liked to have seen KJ start over Corey Brewer because his game has been missing in action since Mikhail was fired. So it was unfortunate we were fortunate enough to pull that win off. Like you mentioned, Joel, the sloppiness at the end, you had 40-something seconds to finish what you started. And they just looked so inept. It was ridiculous. I would like to believe that our team is going to, hit a stride where they're just going to, gel and everybody's going to start playing defense the whole game. But I don't feel that optimistic about that because it seems like Capella's allergic to protecting the paint. And when he hit, I don't think Nene is going to last long enough to, really hold the fort down. I think he's going to get injured before All-Star break. So I don't feel that optimism unless we get another big.
I agree, Maya, but where's the money coming from? It's going to have to be in a trade because they don't have any cap room per se, because we talked about this even yesterday, that they used up so much to sign Anderson, to extend Harden, and to sign Gordon. So from my standpoint, look, I mean, unfortunately, it seems like the team is what you're going to – it is what it is, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Are you at all enticed by re-signing Demo?
I wish they would, but I don't because I think we do need someone with a low post game, at least someone who – and he can step out and hit a three, and he can rebound. I mean, when you sit down Capella and let's say Nene is not, at 100%, you need somebody else. You can't rely on Harrell. I mean, he's 6'7". You just can't. And he's going to get eaten alive when we play Memphis, when we play the Clippers, when we play San Antonio. We don't have enough size. And then we don't have enough shooters to offset the fact that we don't have enough size. So, I mean, you can't have an in-between game in the West and expect to be a dominant team.
Where are you on Oklahoma City, Maya? Because last time I checked, they're pretty hot and they're pretty deep. Are you worried about them with the Rockets? And do you think your Rockets right now are a playoff team?
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but we'll probably be a 7-8 seed. This is the way I look at Oklahoma City. They are one-trick wonder right now. And when opposing teams get the crowd in the paint and force Russell Westbrook to shoot, that's when they're going to lose, just like Golden State did. Basically, Golden State set the groundwork for how to defend Russell Westbrook and his antics. And, they don't have enough shooters. And unless those guys just start really hitting on it at a consistent clip, you're going to stop Russell Westbrook from attacking the paint, which is what he's good at.
Well,
you're going to crowd the paint.
Well, we appreciate the call. And also, I know you're excited because your boy, Coach McPhail, as you call him, is going to be a weekly contributor and have an hour a week with us. So I know you're going to be fired up for those and call in, right?
You know what? Why don't you let that go, Joel? He was Coach McPhail a long time ago, but I'd let that go after after the team achieved so much in a couple seasons ago. I give him props.
Would you have taken him back right now or at the end of last year instead of dealing with what you're dealing with?
No, I wanted Jeff Van Gundy.
You and Daryl were on similar paths, but we appreciate the call as always. Don't be a stranger and keep up your love and your fandemonium of your favorite team. How about that?
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. We'll see you.
Maya.
What do you got?
Somebody texted also to the point earlier about smoking. If you've ever kissed a chick after or during her smoking a menthol cigarette, I feel bad for you. It's the worst.
No idea.
I have no idea. And then somebody said a deal breaker for a deal breaker, a woman that wears full granny panties. I don't know.
Okay, now here's one that's totally different from the height or the smoking thing.
Okay.
You can get by the GPs. I call the GPs granny pants.
Uh-huh.
You can get by GPs. I mean, if you got the Victoria's Secret model and she's wearing GPs, that's one where I'm pretty damn sure you go, it's not a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either.
The granny panties?
Yeah. Now, watch this. Barry's going to accept a smoker, but he's going to say no to the GP.
No, I'm thinking back, in my first marriage, At some point, my ex-wife, she had like she when we met, she was wearing G-strings.
Yeah, but she beat the hell out of you and if then, you didn't do what she said.
And then at some point, she started wearing granny panties.
And it just turned you off?
Yeah, because I was like, why are your drawers so big now? Like, these were not panties anymore. They were drawers. Like, I'm like, do those have a flap in the front? What are those? Why are you wearing those?
Because they're yours.
No, yeah. I was like, those are the biggest drawers I've ever seen. Like,
so I'm saying,
like, bloomers? Are those go down to your knees and have ruffles?
She was wearing yours.
No, it did take a while to fold clothes because I'd be like, are these yours or mine? I can't tell which one of these. I don't know.
That's a deal breaker?
No, but I'm just saying it's weird. You don't want some woman with these big sales for panties.
It is a bad step down if you're going from G-strings to granny panties.
You don't switch. You can't switch.
Okay. At least it's not a deal breaker. Because I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm going to let that one go.
Joel's
at that point.
I don't know.
Are you a G-string guy or a granny panties guy, Joel?
If I had my preference, the G-string is better. It accentuates the positives as opposed to the GPs. Not to mention the terrible lines that they leave.
You like the edible panties, Joel?
No.
Is that part of your diet?
Kind of like you and your crotch, your assless chaps.
What?
Crotch? What?
Your
what?
Crotchless, assless chaps. That's what Barry prefers. To wear himself. I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Don't change the subject.
Because you're always putting words in my mouth. But the minute I do, you go, I didn't say that!
You've never had edible panties.
I have never indulged in edible panties. Oh, I can honestly say that.
I put them on my salad. They're the best.
Nick, you?
I break them up like croutons.
No, me neither. Mm. Just, nope.
So
of course,
good.
Barry eats anything, so that explains a lot.
Andy Jacobs said, if you're getting down to the GPs, no one is breaking any deals, Barry. I'm not saying it's a deal breaker. I'm just saying it's a damn shame if you start off in a relationship and she wears G-strings and then 5 years in, she changes to granny panties because she's given up. That's all I'm saying.
Can I just say that Angel Munoz said he's a simple man. Just make him a sandwich and stick a couple fingers up his pooper.
That is not true.
Hey, we figured out Barry Laminek on the show. If nothing else, who needs Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz?
Objection.
We have Dr. Munoz.
Your Honor, I move the strike.
It is solved. End of case. Case closed. If you got a case you want to open up and you want to talk about it, you can reach us at 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry till 4. We've run the gamut on a lot of different topics. We know that Nick does not like to be dominated from a height position. We found that out.
That's true.
We found out that Barry isn't opposed to much. That's pretty true.
He's not opposed to Harry.
Harry smokers.
I have
with inverted nipples.
I have.
We know
very
that Harry smokers with inverted nipples.
I do.
You can use the nipples as ashtrays, and it all works out.
Look at that. See?
See?
It could be like a cigarette holder. You just wedge it in there.
Yeah, we're just innovative.
Ubaldo Jr. on Twitter said, "For us Mexicans, a deal breaker is if she can't flip tortillas." That's pretty good.
Wow.
I don't listen. I guess when you're making them, you got to flip them, but like warming them up, that's why you just need gas stovetop. That's the best way to warm up a tortilla. If you're putting them in the microwave, you're wasting time. If you put them in a pan, you're wasting time. You turn the flame on, you set the tortilla on top of the grill, you wait 30 seconds, you flip it, you wait 30 seconds, tortilla is perfect.
Now, I'll take it a step further for those of you that should know. There's actually the tortilla pan. It's not even a pan, really. It's like a handle on a very, very thin skillet with no sides.
That's just too fancy.
No, that's what my mother-in-law, who's authentic, that's what she does. You put that bad boy right on the burners, and you put two or three at a time. You flip them over real quick, like you said, 30 on each side. You're done.
I've seen both ways.
Yes, and they're both authentically awesome ways, by the way. Barry's right way is always the right way, but that way works.
I won't knock the pan, but it just seems too fancy.
You just did.
Well, I didn't knock. I just said it's just too fancy. Like, you know, my wife, born and raised on the north side. 6'10", Cross Timbers, Irvington. That's how you make a tortilla, man. You just put that on the
My
gas,
wife and her mom
up.
From...
Ain't no fancy pans going
Indio,
on.
Indio, California, in basically the heart of...
That's fine.
Hispanic heritage.
That's fine.
They got their ways, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
Geographically, it could be the separation that causes the difference in opinion. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I bet if we took a poll, most people
most from people
Texas
would dance on it?
Would prefer to warm their tortillas straight on that gas fire.
It depends like on where you're from.
I'm saying Texas. Most Texas.
Like,
folks.
I actually like anything that has that flame grilled taste, flame broiled taste, like a grill.
I do, too.
So I think that would be ideal for me. But, yeah, you can fire up the gas grill.
I don't know. As long as we got tortillas, I'm happy. That's yeah. That's the beauty of
it. I'm a tortillas guy.
Man, my wife, her mom makes the best homemade tortillas. It's just, it's the glue that keeps our relationship together.
Well, at least we figured that out. So now we don't need Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, or any other doctor because we've got
just good tortillas.
We've got
man.
Barry figured out in a couple hours today.
Somebody said G-strings are a deal breaker for me. You have to wear booty shorts. What the hell are booty shorts? Isn't that just granny panties?
So the Maurice cheeks are hanging out the backside, but you're not at all concerned about the undergarment that's keeping the most important things hygienically in place? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know what booty shorts are. I thought those were like...
They're really like Daisy, the Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't think that those were panties, but whatever.
No.
Well, learn something new every day.
First of all, that's not hygienic at all, but...
What?
You can't just wear those. I mean, you can...
But, oh, like just the booty shorts with no underwear?
I think that's what they're referring to. They're like they're also called boy shorts.
Yeah, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah.
Laura Pope wants to know if we're going to talk about the Aggies and what happened to Mr. Trevor Knight.
We can because they're your team, and I tweeted to you after it was all going down on Saturday by saying this is exactly what you told me to expect and what said would happen with your Aggies this year.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
So I give you credit for that.
Well, it's like I think I even tweeted it when they were announced as the number four team. And then during the game at some point, you know, I had one of those Twitter conversations where it was like, selection committee, hey, Aggies, here's the number four spot. Aggies, thanks. We'll be sure to blow that ASAP. Because that's exactly what happens with this team every time. Anytime they crack the top 10, they get a high ranking. They're in the running for something. They never fail to blow it, and they've done that once again. And I don't care if Trevor Knight would have been healthy. They weren't winning that game. Mississippi State was dominant in that game over the Aggies, and Aggie's going to Aggie. That's what they do. The problem is Trevor Knight, they're saying, I think you told me before the show, that he may not be back until
the
bowl
game. Yeah.
They got to get to a bowl game because now you got
– Oh, they're going.
Yeah.
Come on, they're playing Ole Miss
they got
without Kelly.
They got Jake Hubenak. As their starting quarterback now, the guy that
you
blew
actually
the,
had, you're not had to look any up. Relation.
No, not even close. but that's their junior starting quarterback. There's not a lot of confidence right now. The way their defense is playing, they're not tackling. They can't stop anybody. It's not looking good.
They should get Ole Miss, and then they have like UTSA. PDRX or something like that. They'll beat them, but then their last game of the year is LSU, and I would say that. That would be a challenge for them without Trevor Knight.
You're right. The UTSA is going to make them bowl eligible. But
yeah, they're going to make
remember,
a bowl.
So they're what? They got 7 wins right now?
Look, there's no doubt
they're
in my mind they're bowl eligible. But okay, so I go back to what we talked about a long time ago because when you told me this was going to happen, and I said, does this put Sumlin on the hot seat? Because he recruits like a mother. He gets all the top recruits in the country. But if this is more of a pattern than a fluke, and it happens more times than not, does he start taking heat?
No, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I mean, they made it to the top four.
Mm-hmm.
They were at one point in this season considered by the selection committee one of the four best teams in the nation. Whether they lived up to that or not, the fact of the matter is he got them there. I don't think you let a coach go that can get you there, especially when you came through, when you got through all of the controversy that they went through in the offseason by losing all the quarterbacks. So the fact that he pulled them through that and got them to the point where they were ranked number four, I don't think you throw a guy on the hot seat for that. If they were 2-7, if they were 500, something like that, and never looked good the whole – I mean, think about it, dude. They beat UCLA when UCLA was thought to be good at 16. They beat Arkansas, Tennessee. You know, they were in
but
it
isn't
with
it
Alabama
if you're an Aggie
for a
fan,
half.
not getting to number four, but staying there. They always seem to find a way to be relevant for a majority of the season,
yeah.
But when it matters most, they fade into the sunset.
Here's the sad part about being an Aggie fan that differentiates you from being a fan of the University of Texas or a fan of Alabama or a fan of some of these other programs. At those programs, anything short of a national championship is unacceptable. At Texas A&M, you're just happy to be in the hunt. Honest to God. And
Aggie
sure
fans out there, you agree with that?
I will guarantee you that plenty of Aggie fans agree with me on that.
I think that they've elevated the program and their confidence in the program to say that that's why it's not acceptable. Listen, from a Kevin Sutherland standpoint.
You're missing the point, though. The expectation of a national championship is what many of the top schools in the nation have. And it's either that or you're on the hot seat. At A&M, that is not the case. You just have to be relevant. You have to win. And you just don't be terrible. Don't be terrible. That is, I'm not saying whether this is good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just telling you what the mentality of most Aggie fans is, and that's it.
Barry speaks for Aggie Nation. Does Aggie Nation agree? You can always reach us, 713-780-ESPN. Let us know what you think. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Nick only wants to date you if you're a little bit. If you're taller than him, then it's a no get. I can't believe this tall thing with you. If she's hot, what happens if you're the same height but in heels she's taller than you? It's a deal breaker?
Yeah, it is.
Wow,
it is.
Man. Speaking of deal breakers, my man Dan in Galveston said he was listening. It had him thinking. And he said he dated a chick once, then he found out she was a convicted felon. That is a deal breaker.
I don't know. That's kind of just, you know, she can get a hold of the good stuff. All the good stuff.
If it's below your equator, she might get a hold of it and do things that you let Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah, maybe she worked out in prison.
You sleep with one eye open,
maybe she can get a hold of a good mattress for you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she might know how to get like stereo equipment on the cheap, or
she can get Barry a mattress and a gun all in about one show.
Or if she worked out in prison, she has a good grip. You don't know.
Either that, or she'll strangulate you.
Couple things on Twitter. David Garcia said it's called a komal. I guess that's the pan you were talking about for warming up.
What's it called?
Your fancy a komal. COMAL. I guess I'm saying it right.
All right.
Hefe said, Dr. Dre on 290 said if she makes the tortillas homemade, that's fine, but none of that store-bought cardboard stuff. Totally agree. Douglas Reed told me, preach on the truth about the Aggies. Now, Rob's on the phone. Oh, Ryan called in, hung up, but Ryan told the intern to tell us that I'm an idiot, apparently, about my take on the Aggies. So, okay. Which, by the way, thanks for saying that I speak for Aggie Nation. It's whatever. Rob, you're up, man. Aggie expectations, go.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm an Aggie graduate, one of the most hardcore Aggie fans. However, I'm also one of the most honest and realist when it comes to my Aggies. I think any Aggie that you know, until Alabama comes down off of their perch, I honestly think that we hope we desire to be second in the SEC, and then maybe a fluke happens and we beat Alabama one year. But I know that until Alabama comes down, you know, we're looking for second. We're reaching for that Sugar Bowl, and it was nice to be in the Final Four with that, you know, dream of getting there. I think secondly, you know, it's kind of a side thought, but it's also in the front of every Aggie's mind, whether they admit it or not. We want to be seen as the most dominant team in Texas, whether we play the teams, whether we're in the Big 12, you know, whether it's U of H, TCU, Baylor, Texas, whatever. We want to be seen as the best team in Texas, and it really, really bugs us when we're not.
Yep.
So I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking at second in the SEC, which is pretty good most years.
This year, because they're down, it's tougher.
Yeah, Rob, but that's the point that I was trying to make, is saying that, you know, as an Aggie fan, I'm a lifelong, I didn't go to A&M, but I grew up on the Aggies, and I've always been an Aggie fan. I'm a lifelong Aggie fan. I've listened to games when I was 6 years old driving around with my dad. So that's how far I go back. But I can tell you, I'm speaking as a fan, that, you know, the expectations that we have as fans of the Aggies are different than others. And like you said, second place and being the best team in Texas, Aggie fans will take that most years. I mean, we're good with that. I think it's a great point.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's almost like the Big Ten. If you're not Ohio State or Michigan,
yeah,
you're playing for second, and you're hoping that you have a great year and something slips up.
That's what I'm saying.
Ohio State, Michigan, or Wisconsin. Let's clear that up.
But that's the point, though.
It's a fluke year of Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't go in every year thinking they're going to win the Big
that's
Ten.
That's not true. If you go back and look at the track record over the last 5 years or 7 years, the Badgers have either won the Big Ten outright or been in the Big Ten championship, I think, three of the last 5 years.
Absolutely, but there's never been an analyst that's opened the year on the college football preview.
Oh, I agree with that.
This is Wisconsin's year.
Wisconsin has the same kind of problems that I look at LSU and I look at A&M and I say, why, you know, like in Wisconsin's case, you can get the biggest offensive line, the best offensive line in college football, but you can't get a quarterback that can pass. I don't understand why in the case of Texas or LSU, you can recruit the entire free world and get every other recruit, but you can't find a guy that can play quarterback. And in A&M's case, you can even do that and do multiples, but you just can't win the big game. I believe you should be able to. I believe someone's recruiting classes have been great. It's just puzzling to me because I think all the pieces are there for you guys to actually compete for a national title every year. I don't see any reason why you should set your standards that low. I think you guys should compete with – look to Alabama and say we should be able to compete with them every year.
Well, and I agree. I think that it's very frustrating that a couple years back we had the most dominant offense ever, and now we have the defense to win a national title, and we can't put the two together. I think it takes time, and unfortunately, you know, some schools are – speed that time up when it comes to coaches like Nick Saban, but that's why Nick Saban is Nick Saban. That's why Urban Meyer is Urban Meyer. And Kevin Sumlin's not on that level, and I say that as an Aggie fan. He's just not, or he's not yet, I will say.
Yep.
And I don't know if he'll ever get there. But, you know, we haven't started. We should be able to win with Texas recruits, but the fact is that we're not getting national-level recruits yet. We can't go into Florida and get the number one recruit like Alabama can. We can't go into Georgia and pull a guy out of there. We just lost a Tennessee recruit to Oklahoma. And why we're losing defensive recruits to Oklahoma in the Big 12, I don't know.
Yeah, it's all valid points, Rob. Thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it. And I mean, he's basically saying the same thing I am, which is there's different levels. Like I said, UT, you know, USC, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, these are all schools that expect to win national championships, and anything short of that is unacceptable. And I'm not saying that Texas A&M doesn't want to win national championships. What I'm saying is the expectations are different. Of course, every Aggie fan would love to see A&M win a national championship, but okay. Like Rob said, if they're the best team in Texas and they come in number two and they
get
a New Year's Eve bowl, Aggie fan is thrilled with that. Because it's like being an Oilers fan. You have lower expectations because you've never been there.
See, and okay, that's from a competitive nature standpoint. I can't understand that, and I don't think it should be acceptable. Because I'm looking at A&M and I'm looking at Alabama, and I'm saying facilities seem to be on par. I just know how great the facilities and all the resources are at A&M. And from us being there this year, I was so overwhelmingly impressed and going, man, these guys, why wouldn't you want to come here and play here? Then I look at all the five-star recruits, and I look at the rating services, and I say, wow, they're recruiting as good or better than anyone in the country, and especially because they have the ins in the number one hotbed for talent in college football in the country in Texas, and both of these schools can compete in Florida and California and other places. I'm saying, okay, you got the talent, you've got the facilities, you've got everything lined up on a platter. Why wouldn't you set your standards higher and your goals higher and your expectations higher and say, we can compete every single year with Alabama, and if we can do that, we can compete for a national title every year.
History.
I just don't understand it.
History.
But history is the past. That's why it's...
No, you're talking about a school that made up a national title. Come on, man. I'm telling you, it's just a different mindset. I don't know how else to put it other than it's a different mindset. I mean, you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, right?
Yeah.
Do you expect a World Series every year, or are you just happy when they make the playoffs? Honest answer.
Well, no, absolutely small market. The expectations I have for the Brewers are that they will compete. It won't be consistently year after year. But I believe
now you understand.
But I believe with the new ownership group in place that has a different mentality, that they are trying to compete every year consistently, which I respect and I appreciate, because that's the way every Major League Baseball team should do it. Because it's
Replace Aggie with Brewer, and you understand
professional sports, because money is involved. When money is not involved,
I'm just telling you the mindset. Replace Brewer with Aggie, and you understand the mindset. You just are happy to be competing. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you. You're happy to be there. Somebody said, is this guy really acting like Wisconsin is a top-tier football program? Ooh,
look at this track. I don't have to act like it.
Them are fighting words.
No, the results speak for themselves. I know you always want me to get fired up, but the bottom line is if you look at their results and the fact that, like I said, over the past 5 to 7 years, they've either won the Big Ten outright or been in the Big Ten championship. That's a top-tier program. I'm sorry. If you look at the ratings and the national ratings, they're always in the top 25. So is that a good program? Absolutely. But do I have the to your point, do I have the expectations they can compete with Alabama, schools like that? And now that Urban Meyer has resurrected Ohio State, the minute he took the Ohio State job, I was mad simply because I knew it was going to be that much more challenging to try and win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But, again, track record speaks for itself. If you want to go do the research, then check it out and get back to me. But I'm telling you right now because I know. There you have it. All right, so we've got plenty more to talk about. Scott in Deer Park, by the way, says, I have a cousin that never went to a big school, but he picked A&M. What the hell is wrong with you? You never went there, Barry.
What? Say it again?
There are fans who didn't go to a school and they're
I didn't go to college.
If
I was on the radio pretending like I was an Aggie and saying we, which you'll never hear me say, it would be one thing. But you can grow up a fan of a team and be a fan of that team and having not gone to that school. I graduated from Lone Star. What do you want me to cheer for the Lone Star idiots? I don't even know what their mascot is. I grew up listening to Aggie football, and ergo, I became an Aggie fan. If my dad would have been a fan of UT, and I would have listened to Longhorns from the time I could remember hearing sports on the radio, guess what? I'd be a Longhorn fan today.
Yeah, and being like Texas, I can see that happening. Just like in California, a lot of people who don't.
That whole argument about I can't root for them because I didn't go there is stupid. I can root for whoever I want to root for.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, and I've got buddies, same thing as Barry's talking about. Yeah. I have buddies that went to junior college, but A&M is we for them and us, and they live
argument.
And die for them, and they love the Aggies, and it's just the way it is.
It is the
but
dumbest
you know
argument.
Fandemonium is just that. You can pick a team and be a fan of it. It's a free country. We found that out. Today's election day. So pick a team and root for them. Just make sure if you can, try and stay loyal to them. Don't jump off the bandwagon as quickly as you jump on. That's all I would say. But
you think, why would I choose to be an Aggie fan?
I'm not saying you.
No, but I'm saying, of all the schools that you could choose to front run for,
right.
I'm choosing the Aggies? I don't think so. Right. I grew up as an Aggie fan. What can I tell you?
This is like the most defensive I've ever seen Barry.
No, I just think that argument, I hate that argument. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's the dumbest. You can't root for a school because you didn't go there? Shut up.
There you have it. And on that note, we might as well just make sure that we've got one segment to go. We can make it as fandemonious as the last one, we'd be in great shape.
Oh,
so let's hope for it.
Keith Dupree just tweeted at me that Monty is the, I guess, Monty the Maverick is the mascot for Lone Star. Well, kill me now. I guess I'm a Monty the Maverick fan.
But they aren't the Lone Star idiots.
Well.
They're the Lone Star Mavericks.
Maybe not.
Or the Mavs.
That's debatable.
All right. And there you have it. Hey, we'll be back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
I know people see and they laugh at me. Cause yes, it's true. My girl's taller than me.
Warehouse.com Studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I think we struck a nerve with Nick in this.
Yeah, he's playing taller than me. I like it.
Taller Than Me by Evan Blum. Ever heard of the song?
No, never have.
Me either. I just found it right now.
I dig it. Why are there military people in this soccer field? That's crazy. Soccer is insane. All right, so got some text. Joel, if the expectation was championship or bust, they'd be in the ridiculous coaching carousel every 3 years like Texas and USC is and never develop consistency. Well, consistently bad doesn't necessarily make consistency a good thing. And then I'm getting a lot of people telling me what the Lone Star Campus's mascots are. I got a text that says it depends on the Lone Star Campus. Montgomery is the Mavericks. Cy Fair is the Ducks. And then someone texted, North Harris Campus for Lone Star is the Hurricanes. You know what? It was rhetorical.
If it wasn't then, it is now.
None of them own a Hurricane t-shirt or a Duck t-shirt.
No, I don't. They don't have sports. Why do you need a mascot? Why do you need a mascot?
On the back of the car.
Huh?
He's got the...
Why is he holding his thing?
I don't know.
Oh, he's got the stainless steel sticker on the back of the car. He's got the graduate sticker on the back of the back window. You.
For Lone Star?
Yeah.
Son, you out your mind. what is this? Oh, somebody got mad because I didn't read their text. Now I got to go back and find their text. Said, oh, man, it's the first time I chimed in on anything and my text didn't get mentioned. Well, that was
it. There's like 80 million texts.
Yeah, I know. Like, you have no idea how many texts come through here. I try to just read the best ones. I get
it. Or sucked, so he didn't make it, so sorry.
Yeah. No, somebody said, can someone explain it? Please explain to me why the Steelers are favored by 2.5 points over the Cowboys. I got to admit, I haven't looked at the lines yet, but if that's the case.
Are they at home?
I think Vegas is just toying with people. There is absolutely no reason why they should be favored by 2.5 over the Cowboys.
Especially the way Ben Roethlisberger played last week. I think Steeler fans, we talked about this Friday going into that game. Hey, picking games, we would pick that game differently if we knew Ben was playing. Well, Ben played, but he played awfully. So they looked ridiculously bad. And now you're putting him up against the Cowboys 7-1. Yeah, I don't know how Pittsburgh is. Even if it's in Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter. You say, well, that's a 3-point swing. No way in hell the Steelers should be favored in that game.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's not a bad play, actually. I'm not a gambling person, but.
Oh, to take the Cowboys and give the 2.5, or take the 2.5 and
take
the Cowboys?
The Steelers, yeah.
No. You'd be taking the Cowboys and getting 2.5 points. I would bet that all day, every day.
You're getting 2.5 points if you bet the Cowboys as
well. Yes.
Hey, okay, well.
Yes. I would take that all day, every day. I don't understand why they are. I mean, God, boy, the Cowboys can't get any respect. 7-1, and the Steelers are 4-4. I get that they didn't have Roethlisberger for a couple games. Or what, one and a half? It doesn't matter. I don't understand how you could do that. I don't know what else the Cowboys would have to prove. And I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but I don't know what else they would have to prove.
Wait, you're not? Neither am I.
At this point.
Based on all the shows we've ever done, I don't know how you can't say that. You are the biggest Cowboy fan alive.
Shut up.
The Cowboy gun rack for Christmas that you put in your truck was the kicker for me. That put you over the top.
Now people are sending in bait tweets for you that I'm just not going to read. I won't be a part of the bait tweeting. I won't do it. I won't. Somebody did say... they were talking about T-shirt fans and how Red Raiders – this was from Josh Knight. He said, Red Raiders hate T-shirt fans the most because they don't have any. That's so wrong. I'm sure there are fans of the Texas Tech Red Raiders fighting Cowboy football team that didn't go to Tech. I'm
but
sure there
go?
Are.
Thank you very much for stopping. Nick, he's doing your job too.
Guns up.
You don't. You can just take a vacation.
I can just go home.
Isn't that what it is? Guns up.
All right. It is guns up, right?
Go Red Raiders. They throw tortillas. That is a perfectly good waste of tortillas, which is why I would never be a Red Raider fan.
Can I
tell
you this too?
They throw tortillas on the field.
On Hispanic Heritage Night, the Rockets once threw out tortillas. And
what?
I can tell you that there were more than a few upset folks.
That seems a little racist.
Yeah.
There
was also
tortillas?
A big controversy. Like, everywhere Yao played, everybody had, like, Chinese American night because they knew everybody was coming out to see Yao anyway, and they're just trying to sell tickets. But then a lot of people started giving out fortune cookies and stuff.
I was going to say, did they throw fortune
offensive.
Cookies into the crowd?
Yeah.
What on, like European Heritage Night, they just throw broccoli in the crowd? I don't know what... I don't know what that would be. I don't know what they would throw for my peoples. I guess it would be broccoli or something. I have no idea. Salisbury steak. I have no idea. I don't know. All right, that's all. I'm not reading the bait tweets, so stop it.
Come on, why not? You only got a few minutes.
Matt from Beaumont said, Vegas is like all Cowboys fans and just waiting for the Cowboys to implode. Stop. What? What was that?
Barry just said Tony Romo for president.
Did you just record my...
I couldn't help it.
It sounds bad. It doesn't even sound good.
He will not confirm nor deny that.
That sounds horrible. Play it again. No. Cowboy.
Wait, hey,
God, that sounds terrible.
If we had the ultimate scenario where Barry didn't find a deal breaker, how would it end? And if there's any better way to end the show than that right there, I don't know what it is. And you hit it right on cue. That was awesome.
That's a beautiful thing.
So as Barry said, go out and vote like he did.
No.
I guess he didn't say that either.
Vote. Don't go vote.
Enjoy.
Now you're encouraging not to vote.
You're right. I won't encourage rioting, but I will encourage people not to vote.
Yeah. At the same time, hey, you know what? Just be rest assured that most of your viewing pleasure tonight will be interrupted by political coverage, so you can't watch what you want to watch anyway, unless, of course, you have the right cable or satellite programming.
That's right. I'm watching, I'll be Netflix or just playing Mafia 3 on my PlayStation 4.
I'll be dialed into the NBA League Pass.
Okay.
Seeing which games are out to come back and give you an expert analysis of.
I like it. You do that, and I'll play Mafia 3.
Well,
and then I'll come back.
Al Capone, I hope you take care of business.
Tell you how badass that game is.
Just make sure you're okay being second.
Dr. Dre, I'm not on 290. I'm not reading. This is inappropriate
tweeting. I think you want to read the tweets.
No, I'm not reading that one.
I gave Dr. Dre a hard time yesterday because when Trap came in, he got rid of his Twitter handle for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he changed it back.
Yeah, see?
You can't just selectively go back and forth. That's a bandwagon fan.
I get it. I get it.
By the way, they're replaying the block Dwight Howard had on KJ McDaniels this weekend in which a foul was called. Show me where there was a foul.
Offhand.
Ridiculously wrong. Offhand. No, that's what Matt Bullard said because he works for the team. You could work for the team, offhand. Too. Rockets are hiring. Barry, give me the next color analyst for your Houston Rockets. Hey, if you missed any of the show, feel free to podcast it. Check it out. Head to ESPN975.com and then make sure you tune in starting tomorrow for the rest of your natural born lives because we'd love to have you. ESPN 97.5, 1 to 4 p.m. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Nick. We're out for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thought I was focused, but I'm scared. I'm not prepared. ESPN 97.5.